Blog Talk Radio.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונך. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
And welcome to the Sunday night edition of Now the End Begins. No, it is not the Sunday night edition of Now the End Begins. It is the Sunday night edition of The Wise Shall Understand. We are broadcasting live on the beach in beautiful Jacksonville, Florida. My name is Jeff Greider, editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and for the next 2 hours, I will be your host and Bible teacher as we look at the current events, news headlines, and relate them to Bible prophecy. We have a great show for you tonight. We are looking at Barack Hussein Obama and the gay agenda. We are going to look at how he is using the LGBTQ movement, how he is using gay marriage, how he is using gay rights, and how he is using all those things as a tool to create modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you're just tuning into the show for the first time, that sounds like a pretty big topic, and to some of you, that sounds like a pretty scary thing to talk about, but it's real, and it's happening, and we need to discuss it on the show this evening. Last week was a tremendously busy week for Mr. Obama and his agenda, and he is now taking this, having secured the victory with the Supreme Court last week, he is now taking his show on the road, and he is going to different countries where he is selling them on the LGBTQ agenda. Now, some of you may be wondering, what does the Q stand for? I've heard of the expression LGBT, which stands for lesbian, bisexual, transgendered. But what does the Q stand for? Well, they have added a new letter to their acronym, and the Q stands for queer, and that is what they are now calling themselves. So we predict this within, I don't know, a specific time frame, 12 to 24 months from today, they will add one more letter to their gay agenda acronym. It will be LGBTQ, and they're going to add a P. The P will stand for pedophile, and you will see the North American Man-Boy Love Association. You will see these people not just, and I know it sounds like what I'm about to say is really crazy, but it's not. You're not just going to see acceptance and tolerance of the pedophile agenda. You are going to see them rise to power. And that's one reason why we are doing the show with the topic that we are using this evening. We're not simply trying to get ratings. I'm not making up these titles in the hope that more people will come in because we're talking about Obama and his nasty master plan and all those things. We're talking about what we're talking about tonight because it has to do with Bible prophecy. And I'm going to explain that as well. Barack Hussein Obama, the American president, is indeed creating a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah right within our borders of the old 48 states. And you watch, this is happening. This is not one day someday. This is payday someday now. These things are happening as we speak. And part of what we do on this show is we try to get you ready for what's coming. You know, so many people come up to me and they say, Brother Jeff, I read your blog every day. I go to your website every day. I listen to your radio show twice a week. I'm all fired up. I'm all charged up. What do I do? Where do I sign up? Where do we attack? Well, my answer surprises a lot of people. I don't think it's going to surprise too many of you guys. But for people who are new, my answer surprises a lot of people. I say, I'm not rallying troops for some great cause. I'm not trying to lead an insurrection against the government. In fact, we're not doing anything with government other than exposing what they're doing. We're not calling for anything other than this. Are you ready for the judgment seat of Jesus Christ? Are you ready to meet him in the air? Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the sound of the last trump. Well, what is Apostle Paul talking about? He is talking about the rapture of the church. And what this show and what Now the End Begins does is we want you to be ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ either in the air through the rapture or by your own death, whenever that may be. But because we live in America, I think it's very prudent that you know what your country is doing and what they are up to so that you can judge for yourself the nearness of how close we are with the end of things. Now, as we teach on this show, we believe and we teach in what's called the pre-tribulation rapture. We believe the Bible very clearly shows that the rapture will happen before the tribulation. You see this in the book of Revelation. You see this in Thessalonians. You see this in Corinthians. You see this in Titus. You see this all over the place. It's just everywhere. So if that's true, and it is, there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, 3.5 of those years, great tribulation, which will come upon the people of the whole earth. And part of what we do on this show is we are trying to leave behind a roadmap for people to follow. Now, people laugh at that. They say, oh, you're leaving a roadmap behind. Yeah, that's part of what we're doing. So if you are one of those people who don't make the rapture and you find yourself on this earth having to face the Antichrist, well, the answers will be on this website. The answers will be on these radio shows. And for as long as they'll stay up in the air after we're taken out, that's how long that these teachings and Bible studies and radio programs can stick around to help people who find themselves in the Great Tribulation. But let me just say this. The Great Tribulation is going to be horrible beyond your ability to comprehend it. Almost nobody is going to make it through alive. And even if you somehow manage to not take the mark of the beast, it's going to be such a hard time to become a Christian, such a hard time to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Persecution like no other generation, no other time period has ever seen or imagined. Trust me when I tell you, you don't want to go through the tribulation. People write to me all the time, and they say, I don't want to go in rapture. I want to do something for my Lord, Jesus Christ. I want to go through the tribulation. Well, hey, tough guy, you're not going to make it. The tribulation is beyond horribly bad. Picture something 1,000 times worse than Auschwitz, 1,000 times worse than Hitler's Nazi Germany Holocaust. And you think you're going to make it through that? No chance. You're just better off getting saved right now. And you die, or when you go up in the rapture, you can avoid this nasty, nasty, nasty tribulation. And Terry in the chat room just raised a very good point. She said it would be very hard to stay saved during the tribulation. And that's right, Terry, because people who get saved in the tribulation, it's a combination of works and faith. It is not the age of grace in the tribulation. During the time of the Great Tribulation, you can lose your salvation. You can't lose your salvation now in the age of grace, because Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, and Ephesians chapter 4 say that you are sealed unto the day of redemption. In the tribulation, the only people who are sealed are the 144,000 male virgin Jews that God raises up. Everybody else is on their own, and either you make it or you don't. And that's going to be a tough, tough, tough thing. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and let's ask for his blessing tonight. And please pray along with me and ask the Lord to do something. Heavenly Father, it's late and we're tired. We've all had busy and full days, God, but we're excited to be here tonight and to meet around the internet once again. And Lord, there's so much that I have to say tonight. My mind is racing. Just calm me down, Lord, and focus my thoughts and focus my energy and focus my mind. And Lord, take me back and just work through me tonight, Father God, and Holy Spirit, just fill me so I can have something to give to the people of your word, Lord, which is why they've come tonight. And I pray for everyone who's going to listen to this show live and everybody who's going to listen to it in the archive that your will and your way would have free course, Lord. Titus 2, verse 13 says we are to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are, Lord. We are. We want you to come get us, Lord. We believe. And we thank you, God, for saving us. And, Lord, if there's anyone here, and I'm sure that there'll be lots of unsaved people here tonight, please save their soul, Lord. Don't let them go to hell. And we ask it, God, in Jesus' name, amen. This song that I want to play for you, we sang in church this morning, and I hope you went to church today. I hope you're not one of those Christians who could go to a church, but you don't. Now, a lot of people who listen to this show live far away from a church, and we get that. A lot of people write in and tell me this is the only church they have, and we understand that. That's one of the reasons why we do these shows. But if you do have access to a King James Bible-believing church and you don't go, well, shame on you, because the Bible says to neglect not the assembling together of ourselves and so much more as we see the day approaching. Now, this song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, written about 150 years ago, and we sang it at church this morning with strength and with power. I want you to listen to the words, and if you know the words, sing along with it. It's such a great, great, great song. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. knees, and here by thy great help I've come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. That day when freed from sinning, I shall see thy lovely face, clothed then in blood-washed linen. How I'll sing thy sovereign grace. Come, my Lord, no longer tarry, take my ransomed soul away. Send thine angels now to carry me to realms of endless day. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I am constrained to be. Let thy goodness, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above.
Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. If you're saved tonight, you owe an unpayable debt to the Lord Jesus Christ, who allowed himself to be crucified for your sins. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he was completely innocent. He wasn't just not guilty, but Jesus Christ was innocent. The Bible said that he was the Lamb that had been slain from before the foundation of the world. When his cousin John the Baptist saw him at the start of his earthly ministry, you remember John the Baptist, about whom the Bible says that he was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And when John the Baptist saw his cousin Jesus Christ, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Do you behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world? I know that we're getting ready to talk about Obama and the whole gay rights movement tonight. I get that. And I know a lot of you have tuned in tonight to hear that. But because you're here, and because our boss, our master, our leader is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, well, you're going to hear about him too. In John chapter 3, the Bible says, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever should believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life." Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Are you trying to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you getting closer and closer and closer to being conformed to his image? Or are you walking too close to that line, that dividing line between good and evil, that dividing line between right and wrong, that dividing line between where we're supposed to be as the Church of Jesus Christ and the world at large? How close to that line are you? I love that song. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I am constrained to be in thy goodness like a fetter. It's the bond that sets you and I free. And I just, if you're saved tonight, just ask the Lord Jesus Christ to do something in your life, to do something with you. And you know what? He will. His word says he will. He promises that he will. I want to read to you a story, a blog post that I posted on Thursday. I had a long phone conversation with Brother Craig Phillips, who you have heard him on the show many times. He's a missionary to Haiti, and he's part of our street preaching team, and he's just a good friend and brother. And him and I spoke on the phone, and in fact, this show tonight, Obama and the Gay Rights Agenda, is really an outgrowth of that conversation that I had with Brother Craig. And this blog post, and it's only three paragraphs long, I just want to read it to you, but this blog post that I wrote after I got off the phone with him on Thursday, here's the title of it. The title is, Time is Running Out. Are you ready? Kind of an ominous sounding title. And then I quoted this scripture from Luke 22:53, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And I wrote, you can see it everywhere you look. Things are different now. That part of your mind that's screaming at you that something is not right, but you can't quite put your finger on it. Time is rushing forward away from you, unstoppable. The Bible said that these days would come, and behold, they are nearly here. America's moral fiber has been obliterated, with all manner of sin and perversion paraded openly, proudly. The gay revolution has arrived and will destroy everything it touches. The American president, that's Obama, has become the official LGBTQ spokesperson, deftly leading us down the sin-slimed rabbit hole of what God destroyed Sodom for. Think about that. I really want you to think about that for a moment. Obama is leading us down a rabbit hole of what God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for. But we're not afraid of God, not anymore. The Bible talks about a time of literal hell on earth called the Great Tribulation. It will happen shortly after the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his church, as he promised to do in the rapture. We who are saved and redeemed by the shed blood of the Lamb live in hour-by-hour anticipation of that moment. I do. Do you? Do you daily think about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back to get us? Do you daily think, do you hourly think about getting out of here in the rapture or meeting him in death? It will happen. But for those of you who are not saved, monstrous tribulation awaits you. It sits just a few steps ahead of where you are right now, like a yawning dragon, mouth open, waiting for you to walk right in. God is asking you to choose, to pick one choice. Choose life in heaven with Jesus Christ and live forever with the redeemed, or choose eternal torment in fire unquenchable, prepared for the devil and his angels. But know this, God recognizes no neutrality. Making no choice is the same as choosing hell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Time is almost up. Where will you spend eternity? Now, that's the article that I wrote after I had a pretty hard-hitting conversation with Brother Craig. And I am very gratified to see That is a old school, old fashioned, get ready for the Lord is coming back type of message. And I put that front page on my website on Thursday night, and it really shocked me that that article has been shared 1.2 thousand times on Facebook since Thursday night. Now, we have lots of articles that are shared 5, 10, 20, 30, 35,000 times. Our website is filled with articles with those type of shares. But to have this type of message, a pure get ready to meet Jesus message, be shared 1.2 thousand times, well, that really made me happy. And, you know, the Lord's really doing something with it. It has 266 comments on it. And I just hope that you are spending some time thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is coming soon. And you need to be ready to meet him either through death or by rapture. And this old song, and I love this song, I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside. Are you ready for that day?
I will meet you in the morning by the bright riverside, when all sorrows have drifted away. I'll be standing at the portals when the gates open wide, at the close of life's long weary day.
Four, three, Trent had it halfway right. The New Jerusalem, I'm sure that's what he meant, though. The New Jerusalem will be coming down soon, and that's what we read about in the book of Revelation. All right, let's read some reader mail tonight. Been getting a lot of emails this past week, and some of them are very good. You know, it really makes me happy when somebody writes in and they say, Brother Jeff, your show has changed my life. Because of your teaching on the Bible, I now have a closer walk with Jesus Christ that I never had before. I now am ready for the judgment seat of Christ. And when people write to me and tell me things like that, it's very encouraging to me, and it reminds me of why I do these shows. And then we have other letters, like this one. And normally I wouldn't read this type of letter over the air, but I want to read this to you and use it as a teaching lesson for those of you who may have come across people like this. This man by the name of Mel wrote in and said this. Well, the title of his email was, Much of Hitler's Anti-Semitism Was Justified. And then he goes on to write this. The biggest problem, as I see it, was not and is not the Jewish people in and of themselves, but the international Jewish bankers, this is who he calls the Zionists, who have long planned a world conquest and subjugation of the world's people. The protocols of Zion have long been the guidelines for these, beyond merely just despicable beings who have sold their soul to the evil one for power and money. My father was Jewish, but not a Zionist. He was a kind, loving, and compared to most, an exemplary, decent and honorable man. I am one who can and does see the blatant nonsense that emanates from Jewish so-called leadership worldwide and understand that the term liberal can almost always find its roots in something Jewish as well as something awfully rotten. Blessings to you all. Now, let me comment on Mel's email. First of all, Mel made a very, very common mistake, and I want you guys to pay attention to how I'm going to answer this email. Number one, the term Zionist has nothing to do with the Rothschilds or an evil cabal of bankers who run Hollywood. All of those things are nonsense. There's conspiracy theory that's true, and there's conspiracy theory that's not true. Being a Zionist means one thing, and I hate to break it to the followers of Alex Jones or David Rentz or Jeff Rentz, whatever his name is, or the rest of those guys who simply hate Jewish people, and they don't have the guts to come out and say that they hate Jewish people. What they'll do is they'll say, and people have told me this dozens of times, I don't have anything against Jewish people. It's the Zionists that I can't stand. People tell me that all the time. Well, but they don't even know what a Zionist is. A Zionist is somebody who believes that Israel is God's eternal land for the Jewish people. Did you hear that? That is the definition of what a Zionist is. A Zionist is simply somebody, whether they're Jewish or Gentile, who believes that God gave Israel all the land of Israel. When I say Israel, I mean Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who became Israel. God gave the land of Israel to the Jewish people. That's what a Zionist is. And people like Alex Jones and Jeff Rentz and those people, and David Duke, who was the former leader of the KKK. And that's another thing that I find funny. If you read or go to Alex Jones' website, you will see him quoting from Jeff Rentz, who hates the Jewish people, and you will also see him quoting from David Duke, who is a former Grand Wizard of the KKK. Now, you don't have to be a genius to put those pieces together and figure out how these people feel about the Jewish people. And let me tell you something. On this ministry, Now the End Begins, whether it's the radio or the blog or the website, we love the Jewish people. We love Israel. It is God's land for the Jews. And anything that we can do to help them, we will, and we do. We are very vocal, outspoken supporters of the nation of Israel and of the Jewish people. Now, I acknowledge that Israel is very liberal. They do not follow the New Testament. They do not follow the Old Testament. And they're getting ready for a huge time of trouble. Jeremiah 29, verse 7 says, "Alas, for it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." And if you want to get God's blessing, God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, "I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse them that curseth you." You want to be cursed by God? Then go against Israel. You want to be cursed by God? Then go against the Jewish people. You want God's blessing? Then why don't you go help them out? And whether they're doing the right thing or the wrong thing is not your business to figure out. It's not my place to judge Israel. Israel has a judge. And do you know what his name is? I'll give you a clue. It's King of Kings and it's Lord of Lords. And God will judge Israel. Don't you do it, though. And Mel, if you're listening, you need to first understand what a Zionist is, has nothing to do with the Rothschilds, has nothing to do with international bankers, and you need to support the nation of Israel unless you would like to be cursed by God. And if that's the case, then just go right ahead. Let me see if I can get some more letters here that people have written in. This one woman wrote, her name is Tanisha, and she says, "I was wondering if anyone on your staff has seen the movie entitled This Is the End. That movie made me feel very uncomfortable. My fiance and I went to see it last night. I felt as if the actors were mocking the Bible. What are your thoughts?" Well, Tanisha, thank you very much for writing in. My thoughts, having worked in Hollywood for 6 years, having been an actor, having been in movies and having been on TV and all that stuff, you are 100% correct. Hollywood hates Jesus. Hollywood hates the Bible unless they can make a buck off of it. And then they'll do a movie that seems to be pro-Bible if they're making money off of it. But they have no love for biblical things. I was watching a trailer for a movie on YouTube called the something 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 Rapture Palooza. I don't know if you guys have seen that movie, and that's the only word that I remember from the title. It's called Rapture Palooza, and they're making fun of the pre-tribulation rapture. Now, they had a scene in that movie that made me so angry I could have smashed my own computer screen. This is what I saw, and then I turned it off after that. They had an image of Jesus Christ coming in the clouds with the clouds opening, and he was riding a white horse, and somebody was down on the ground with an anti-aircraft gun. And, I mean, it's really laughable. When Jesus returns, the Bible says that Jesus Christ returns in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God. And that he treadeth the winepress alone, and that he crushes his enemies under his own feet, so that the blood of all the people he crushes rises as high as the horse's bridle. So that's what the Bible says will happen when he returns. But in this very silly movie, Rapture Palooza, when I was watching the trailer, they had somebody down in the ground and the sky broke open and Jesus was there on a white horse in the clouds and somebody from the ground shot and killed him with an anti-aircraft gun. And then they laughed and made fun about that. Well, you know, when Jesus returns, he's going to destroy all of his enemies at the Battle of Armageddon, and it's not going to be a pretty sight. So, Tanisha, thank you for writing, and that's what I think about Hollywood. You're never, ever, ever going to see a movie that lifts up the Lord Jesus Christ. They're remaking the first movie from the Left Behind series. Nick Cage is going to star in that movie. And so it just should be really interesting to see how they treat the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in the first movie with Kirk Cameron, who I didn't feel that he was well cast for that role. He's a great Christian, but he just really wasn't strong enough of an actor for that role. But it should just be real interesting to see what Nick Cage will do with that and if they'll still focus on the Lord Jesus Christ or will they have some sort of a new twist, a new angle. So we're definitely going to be watching for that movie to see how close that they can come to the original take on the movie. Let's see if we can do one more letter. And then we're going to play a song, and then we're going to get right to tonight's topic, Barack Obama using the gay agenda to destroy America. Marv writes and says, I do not understand how to parallel Jesus' prayer in the garden with the pre-mid or post-trib rapture in which he prayed, Father, I do not pray that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. All three rapture teachings use 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17 as their basis for a rapture off the earth. If the Bible does not contradict itself, and it does not, if the Bible does not contradict itself, please help me understand this apparent contradiction. Thank you very much. Well, Marv, we do Bible study on our Tuesday night show, and I promise you that if you will tune in to our radio show on Tuesday night, I will answer this question about Jesus praying in the garden and how 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, how that relates to the pre-tribulation rapture. We will definitely look at that on Tuesday night, so I hope that you will be tuning in. So there you just have a couple of a random sampling of the type of letters that we get. And we're very excited that people write to us and people ask questions and people see us as a resource and they tune in for the Bible teachings. And that's just, it's an honor and it's a privilege and it's a pleasure to be in a position to teach God's word all over the world. Every Tuesday night right here on this program. Okay, one more song, and then when we come back, we're going to be talking about tonight's show, which is this. It's what you've all tuned in for. It's a great topic. It really is. Barack Obama and the gay agenda destroying America to create a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you think he's going to do that? He's already doing it right now. And we understand that there's many of you listening right now that voted for Barack Obama, that support his agenda. You may even be a homosexual listening to this program right now. And do you know what we would say to you? Jesus loves you. And he sacrificed his own body and shed God's own blood on the cross for your sin. And we'd like you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. We'd like you to get saved. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to make fun of you. We're not going to fight you. We're here to see you get saved. Jesus said this, "Whosoever will come and drink freely." Whosoever will, if you're athirst, come and drink freely, and out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus Christ died for your sin, and regardless of what other Christians have told you, homosexuality is not the unforgivable sin. Neither is fornication or drunkenness or drug addiction or whatever your sin may be. Jesus says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest unto your souls. Come and learn of me," Jesus says, "for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you're a homosexual today, I know that you have a heavy burden, and I'd like to help you carry that burden. I'd like to do something for you that will last for all eternity. I'd like to tell you about Jesus Christ. John says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." You can trust Jesus. He'll always tell you the truth. "If it were not so, I would have told you," Jesus says, "and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know." And Thomas answered him and said, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way?" And if you're gay tonight, I want you to listen to Jesus' answer. Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me." We'd like you to get saved tonight if you're lost. We'd like you to trust in the ever-living one who loves you so much that he shed his blood on Calvary's cross for you. We're not going to mock you and belittle you. We're not going to call you a sodomite and make fun of you. We love you. But our love won't get you from here to the street corner, because Jesus loves you. That will get you all the way home, my friend. And I have a soft spot in my heart for the homosexual. My older brother was a homosexual and he died. I don't know whether he was saved or lost. But you know what? I hope with all my heart that some Bible-believing Christian came into his life in the last few months and told him about the ever-living one who gave his life on Calvary. And if he would accept it, then he could go free. I was not a saved man when my brother died, but it was his death that caused me to seek the Savior. So I'll be forever grateful for that. I came to know Jesus Christ because my older brother, who was gay, died. And I was in California for the last few months of his life. Him and I were best friends. We were very close. And I went to visit him in the hospital many, many, many times. But I wasn't there for the last couple of months. I don't know whether he was saved or lost. I don't know whether somebody gave him a tract or gave him a Bible or shared God's love with him. But I hope that they did. And one day when I get to heaven, God's going to show me. And when I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, "Lord, what happened to my brother?" And do you know what God told me? God answered my question with a question. And he said, "Do you trust me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord, I do." And he said, "Good, leave it right there." And that was 24, 25 years ago. And I miss him today just as much as I've ever missed him. Now, I didn't mean to tell you that whole personal story, but I hope it helps some of you who are listening tonight. If you're gay, if you're lesbian, if you're queer, or if you're bisexual, transgendered, whatever your individual letter and the acronym pertains to you, Jesus Christ will save you if you ask him. So my question to you is, why don't you ask him?
I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbye.
Talked earlier about the time of Jacob's trouble And a lot of you have asked me about that verse in the Bible. It's in Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Verse 8 of Jeremiah 30 says, for it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now, Jeremiah in verse 7 was talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. And we all know that God changed Jacob's name to Israel. The time of the great tribulation is not the time of the trouble of the church. It is the time of the trouble of the nation of Israel. And that's one of the many, many reasons that show you a pre-tribulation rapture. The church is not here when the tribulation starts. We shall not be here. We shall be changed. Revelation 4, verse 1 and 2 talk about that exact same thing. And Rue just posted that verse in the chat room. And Rue, could you just increase the size of your font a little bit? Just bump it up because it's red and it's small. If you just make it a little bit bigger, it'd be easier for me to read. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The Bible says that Israel shall be saved out of the great tribulation, but it's going to come at such an amazing, amazingly high cost. There's going to be an amazing price tag attached to their salvation through the tribulation. Isn't it great that you and I can get saved now in the age of grace, and we can be raptured out of here and avoid all that nonsense? Every Tuesday night for the last month, we have been going through Matthew 24, and Donna just posted in the chat room, I have been going to sleep almost every night to the teachings on Matthew 24. That was some great teaching. Thank you very much for that, Donna. And this Tuesday night, we are continuing our look at Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, and we are comparing it to Old Testament scriptures. We're looking in the book of Revelation. We're looking all over the place, and we are showing you proof positive that Matthew 24 is not talking about the rapture, even in one single verse. It is talking about the time of the great tribulation. So please tune in Tuesday night and join us for that, our ongoing series on Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. All right, let us take a look at tonight's topic, tonight's show. It's a big one, and it's a good one. And I had read to you from the article that I read about a half hour ago, where Obama is doing to America, he is creating something that God destroyed two entire cities over. Turn to Genesis chapter 6, and I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 6, and I hope you have your King James Bibles with you. But Genesis chapter 6. I'm sorry, that's the Nephilim. But I want to show you something in Genesis, and that's really going to be our starting point for this evening. Turn to Genesis chapter, where are we going to start here? Genesis chapter 19, and let's take a look at what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, we get the term sodomy, which refers to a mostly homosexual act, We get the term Sodomite from the city of Sodom, which we read about in the first book of the Bible called Genesis. And we all know the story. God sends two angels to warn Lot and his family. And the angels come and they stay with Lot. And all the men of the city, they see the angels. And look at verse 4 of Genesis 19. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both young and old, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Now, that's an old English term for that we may have sexual relations with them. So here we have the men of Sodom banging on Lot's door, saying, You bring those two men out. We want to have sexual relations with those men. So obviously, the people of the city of Sodom were homosexual to a very high degree. And verse 6 says, And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And he said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. And then he tries to offer his two daughters to the rabid, angry mob. And he said, these two men who came to my house, don't touch them. And in verse 9 of Genesis 19, they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, that's the two angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. Now, look down in verse 13. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And then finally, look down to verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the plain of the land, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Now, that's what God did to Sodom and Gomorrah. Two cities in the Old Testament that were predominantly homosexual. God destroyed those cities for their wickedness. Now, what does tonight's show have to do with Sodom and Gomorrah? Obama, we're going to show you tonight, we're going to prove to you tonight that Obama is attempting to turn America into a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. And by doing so, he has invited God's judgment upon this country. Now, I want to read a few things to you from our archive. And we've been tracking this for many years now. Here's the first story that we did on Obama and the gay agenda. We did this story February 23rd of 2011, and this is what we called it. Obama no longer supports heterosexual marriage. And It says here, this is 2 years ago, the Obama administration announced Wednesday that it has pulled its legal support for the Federal Defense of Marriage Act. Now, that's called DOMA, Defense of Marriage Act, D-O-M-A. That is what the Supreme Court just defeated last week. They said that DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, as a law, is unconstitutional. They struck it down and said that states no longer have to follow it. Now, February of 2011, 2012, 2013, March, April, May, June, it took Obama 2 years and 4 months to remove the Defense of Marriage Act. We reported this on February 11th of 2011. And it says here, it has taken them many decades of wrangling, but the pro-gay progressive left under Obama has finally gotten a toehold deep within the U.S. Military. They are there to make serious and profound changes in our military functions. They are on a seek and destroy mission to neutralize their enemy. We reported this 2 years and 4 months ago, and that's how long it took Obama to bring that to pass. And I'm going to put the link here into the chat room, so those of you who demand proof of our of what we say Obama's doing, you can just go to the website. It's all cataloged there, and we make it really, really easy for you to search. All right, then 2 months after Obama said that he was looking to destroy the Defense of Marriage Act, we did this story. California Senate bill mandates gay history in schools. And it says here, gays, lesbians, bisexuals, and transgendered people will be added to the lengthy list of social and ethnic groups that public schools must include in social studies lessons under a landmark bill passed Thursday by the California State Senate. Now, that was 2 months after Obama said that he planned to destroy the Defense of Marriage Act. It was just a mere 8 weeks after that. All right? And then we have this. This is an article that we did called The Queering of America. Obama gives gays what they want in exchange for campaign funding. Now, that sounds a little harsh, but that's exactly what he did. And this is what our story says. It all started with getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Then Obama decided to no longer defend DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act. Bit by bit, Obama is making sure that the gay agenda is on the front burner of his domestic policy. You just might say that he is the gayest president in U.S. history. President Barack Obama's reelection campaign is banking on gay donors to make up the cash it's losing from other groups of wealthy supporters who have alienated and disappointed elements of Obama's first term. So there we reported that he was actively pursuing gay support and the LGBT to help himself get reelected, which is exactly what happened. It's exactly what he did. Well, let's continue with our timeline. Then, just a few weeks after that, we did a story that says this. U.S. Navy chaplains to begin performing same-sex marriages on bases. The move by the Obama administration to glorify and celebrate homosexuality on a national level is a direct slap in the face to the Holy God of Israel, who forbids homosexual unions of any kind and on any level. Anticipating the elimination of the military ban on homosexuality, the officer of the Chief of Navy chaplains has decided that same-sex couples in the Navy will be able to get married in Navy chapels, and that Navy chaplains will be allowed to perform the ceremonies if homosexual marriage is legal in the states where the unions are to be performed. And then just 2 weeks after that, we had this story. Defense Secretary Robert Gates bluntly told Marines on Sunday that they will not be able to opt out of their enlistment just because they disagree with a government decision to end a ban on gays that are serving in the military. Now, that's five stories that I just told you about. The first one started 2 years and 4 months ago, and then every few weeks after that, some big thing happened. Do you see a pattern, or do you need me to keep reading more stories to you? But I think you're beginning to see the pattern now of what Obama's real plan has been. He's not really concerned with anything other than forcing the gay agenda on America. And he has been amazingly successful at getting this accomplished. And then just a few months after that last story, we have this. New gay military magazine headed for base newsstands. When Obama was able to secure the victory that he did, it opened up a floodgates of unbelievable support for the gay and the lesbian and the bisexual and transgendered agenda to take root in this country. And he has made amazing inroads towards the gaying of America. June 25th of 2011. New York City passes same-sex gay marriage bill, okay? A mere 6 months after the first story that we told you about, and then one of the most densely populated cities in all of America passed a same-sex gay marriage bill. All right, just a few more, and then we're going to string all these together for you. I'm just going to read some headlines to you. U.S. Navy first kiss goes to lesbians for the first time in American military history. Obama to use foreign aid to force gay rights overseas as official U.S. policy. U.S. military celebrates new ordinance of sodomy. Marine Corps fully embraces the homosexual agenda. That's the Marine Corps. Repeal of ban on gay military service becomes official. X, the letter X, is now a gender option in Australian passports. You don't have to be male or female. Ben & Jerry's launches new flavor in support of gay marriage. U.S. Marine Corps now proudly displays open homosexuality. Obama changing stance on same-sex marriage at election time. Court overturns voter passed Prop 8 ban on gay marriage in California. Washington State approves same-sex marriage bill. Indiana unveils its first license plate aimed at gay children. That's interesting. Target is the latest U.S. retailer to promote gay marriage. DC Comics relaunches Green Lantern as gay superhero. JCPenney celebrates Mother's Day with ad showing lesbian partners. Newsweek magazine anoints Obama as the first gay president. Obama becomes the first pro-gay marriage in U.S. history. All right, now I'm going to start stringing all this together for you, and I'm going to show you exactly what the plan has been. Now, I've taken a lot of flack in the last 4 years because I have the audacity to compare Barack Obama with Adolf Hitler. That offends Jewish people, it offends Gentiles, it offends every liberal on the face of the planet. But let me tell you how I mean that. When Adolf Hitler was coming to power, he came to power legally. Adolf Hitler did not take over Germany by force. The German people gave him the power that he sought. Now, granted, he had to use some behind-the-scenes tricks. And one of the tricks that he used is he needed to create a common enemy. Now, guys, I want you just to pay attention to what I'm about to say, because the whole show is based on what I'm about to say right now. And I want you guys to get it, okay? I really want you to get it. Adolf Hitler created a common enemy for the German people by taking the Jew and blaming all of Germany's problem on the Jews. It was the fault of the Jews that the economy was bad, that Germany lost World War I, that whatever was wrong with Germany, Hitler was able to create a scapegoat out of the Jewish people, and he started by putting yellow stars on the Jewish people's clothing. And that's all he did. If you were Jewish, he simply required that you put a yellow star on the outside of your coat or your shirt to let people know that you were Jewish. Some of the Jews balked at that, others didn't. In any case, they were all required to wear the yellow star. And then not too long after he started putting the yellow stars on all the Jews, he rounded them all up in ghettos. And he put them in tightly packed places. So he had them all in one place. And all the major cities in Germany and Czechoslovakia and Poland, and Hitler created ghettos of Jews wherever he went. And once he had them starred and he had them in the ghettos, then he put them on trains and sent them to places like Birkenau and Bergen-Belsen and Auschwitz, and he killed them in some of the most horrific ways that this world has ever seen. And that's how Adolf Hitler was able to do what he did with the support of the German people. Now, how does that relate to Barack Obama? Obama, his plan is to create a United States of Sodom. I believe exactly what he's doing. And it's going to be the most perverse, most wicked country on the face of the earth. And our government very, very soon will be promoting all manners of sin and degradation and unbelievable wickedness and cruelty to our fellow human beings. And it's all going to be done with taxpayer dollars, and it's all going to be done legally. And here is the common enemy that Obama is going to make. Anyone in the chat room care to take a guess at who Obama is going to create as a common enemy for the United States? Hitler created the Jew as the common enemy of Germany. What is going to be Obama's common enemy of the United States of Sodom? Terry, Jackie, Judy, Trent, and I'm sure all the rest of you know this, Christians. And to that, I will add Bible-believing Christians. That's what I'll add to that. Because there's going to be plenty, plenty, plenty of weak, baby, immature Christians who will go along with Obama. There may even be some of you listening right now who claim to be Christian, but you voted for Obama and you support the gay agenda. And I hear it from Christians all the time. Now, they're not Bible-believing Christians, but they call themselves Christians. And what's going to happen, Obama is going to create the common enemy of Bible-believing Christians, and we will be called the haters. This shows like this show will be labeled as hate speech. Websites like my website will be shut down for speaking the truth. And it will start with the yellow star. Then it will be the ghetto. And then it will be the trains to the FEMA camps. And that's exactly what Obama's plan is. And that's exactly what he's doing. And those headlines that I read to you are all headlines of things that have already come true. They are not happening one day in the future. They are headlines of things that have already happened right here and right now. Let me read a few more of these headlines to you. It's important that you understand what's happening. PBS and the Muppets dump Chick-fil-A to support gay marriage. LGBT community to protest at Chick-fil-A with a national same-sex kiss day. Rainbow-stuffed gay pride Oreo cookie sparks Kraft Foods boycott. JCPenney's Father's Day ad features two gay dads. Obama proclaims June to be lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered Pride Month. Huh. Number of gay and bisexual TV characters at highest level ever. U.S. military appoints first ever openly gay general. Obama adds gay marriage plank to official DNC 2012 election platform. Amazon founder Jeff Bezos donates $2.5 million to support gay marriage. Anti-hell pastor Rob Bell, who wrote the book Love Wins, now fully supports gay marriage. Hillary, ahead of a 2016 presidential run, supports gay marriage. Boy Scout leaders of America to allow homosexual leaders and members. Obama's Washington National Cathedral to perform LGBT marriages. Presenting the Queen James gay-friendly Bible perversion. We did this story last year. They now have what they call the gay Bible. It's called the Queen James Bible. And they remove all references to sodomy, and they just go through the Bible and they completely rewrite the sections that have to do with God condemning homosexuality. I just thought that was an interesting article. It sells on Amazon for $34.95. And then I wrote this article here called Obama is the King God Has Given to Reign Over America in the Last Days. The things that are happening to this country are not happening by coincidence. It is not happening by happenstance or because we've suddenly become this open, tolerant country. The things that are happening in America now are judgment. It is God's judgment on this country. God's judgment of America has already begun. And Obama is the king that God is going to use to carry that judgment out. Now, for decades, God has pleaded with this nation. We murder 1.5 million babies every 12 months with taxpayer dollars in this country. And now we support the LGBT movement. Obama has put the full faith and credit and weight of the American government behind this movement. And that's where our country is right now. National Day of Prayer, it's done no good at all. And why has the National Day of Prayer done no good? Because it's an ecumenical mess where you have Christians and Buddhists and all sorts of people getting together to pray to different gods to America. And it is, we have become weak beyond belief. And Obama knows that. The Bible says in Luke, and now is your hour and the power of darkness. A grave and great darkness has settled over America. It gets worse with each passing day. And then Obama, last week, after he secured his great victory with the U.S. Supreme Court, he went to South Africa, and he began his multi-nation push to sell the LGBTQ, now that he has sold it to America. And again, I realize that I'm repeating myself, but I want you to get this. He is not in the process of selling this to America. He has sold it to America. And now he is selling it to other nations. And you are going to find that they are going to be very, very interested in what he has to say. The Bible says, and now is your hour and the power of darkness. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, it is happening so fast that I am hard-pressed to even keep up with half of it. For every one story that I post, there's three more that I could be posting. You have no idea the depths to which Obama is going to create a United States of Sodom. You know, we've been focused this whole time on Obama creating a socialist country. And you know what? The whole thing was a trick. The socialism political aspect of what we thought he was doing was what they call, in the con artist business, they call it misdirection. They put up some fireworks over on one side so that you're looking at the fireworks and you're not paying attention to what's really happening behind the scenes. It has nothing to do with socialism. It has nothing to do with anything other than the creating of a United States of Sodom. And let me tell you something. God hates that to a very, very high degree. We said earlier in this show that if you're a homosexual and you're listening tonight, that Jesus loves you and he died on the cross for your sins and he wants you to make him the Lord of your life and ask him to save you. And that is 100% true. But make no bones about it. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, two large, wealthy, prosperous cities with maybe a couple of million people in these cities. Young and old and black and white and rich and poor and gay and straight. There were children. There were grandparents. There were people in whatever the ancient equivalent of a wheelchair would have been. There was the weak and the infirm. Every type of person that you know in your daily life now, they had those people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God destroyed those cities with what sounds like a nuclear exchange. I just read to you that passage from the book of Genesis, which says that God destroyed them with fire and brimstone. Well, do you know what is one of the main byproducts of fire and brimstone? It is sulfur. Do you know what one of the main byproducts of a nuclear explosion is? Sulfur. So you do the math on that one. But Obama is creating a United States of Sodom, and God is going to destroy us. I don't know how. I am not a prophet. I am not saying, thus saith the Lord, other than to say, Look at what God has already done. Look at the lessons in Genesis chapter 19. Look how strongly God feels towards the act of homosexuality. And now look at what Obama is doing to this country. Do you honestly think that because we're the great United States of America, that we will be spared God's judgment? If you believe that, you are sincerely and completely deluded. God doesn't need America. Now, one reason why he blessed this country as strongly as he did is because on May 14th, 1948, we were the very first nation to recognize the nation of Israel as a regathered political entity. President Truman stood up and he received wise counsel from some very close Jewish friends of his, and they urged him to support the newly regathered state of Israel. And in 1948, some people will say that's when Israel was created, but that's not true. 1948 is when Israel was recreated, and U.S. President Harry S. Truman said, the United States recognizes the nation of Israel's right to exist. And within a few years after that, we became the post-World War II superpower that you know today. All of the great blessing and wealth that came to this country came to this nation in the aftermath of May 14th, 1948. Now, that may be true, but you cannot live off of a good deed or a success that is 64 years ago, 65 years ago. God blessed us, and we have prospered greatly because we have helped the nation of Israel. Remember, Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those that bless you, and I will curse them that curses you. And we blessed Israel, and God blessed us for it. But we have greatly veered off that track. Let me read this article to you. Not the whole thing, but just a little bit of it. Last week, when Obama had his great victory with the U.S. Supreme Court, and believe me when I tell you that that victory was an enormous, enormous victory for Obama. It energized his base. It fired up all the liberals, and they believe now that they are unstoppable. But if you're a liberal, if you're a pro-Obama liberal who's listening to this show, the Bible has already foreseen this day and said this, but now is your hour and the power of darkness. God knew that these days would come. And we wrote this article last week on Thursday. And I asked a question. Obama to force all churches to perform gay marriages? That's the question that we asked. And the reason why we asked that question is because the same day that Barack Obama was crowing over his victory with the Supreme Court about gay rights, he came out and he said this. He said that he will not force churches to perform gay marriages. That's what he said. Last week, Barack Obama said that he will not force churches to perform gay marriages. But let me tell you something. That is exactly what his plan is. And I put it forth to you tonight that Barack Obama will absolutely force all churches in America. It will soon become law. either through a passed law, through the Congress and Senate, or through one of his executive orders. But Obama last week said he would not force churches to perform gay marriages. Let me remind you of these five facts. When Obama was pushing Obamacare 2 years ago, he promised that there would be no taxpayer-funded abortions. And guess what? That was a lie. Today, right now, and Obamacare is really not even officially being rolled out until October 1st, but taxpayer-funded abortions exist right now in the United States of America. So point number one, where he promised that there would be no taxpayer-funded abortions, that's lie number one. Here's lie number two. When Obama was running for president back in 2008, he said he recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital. That's what Obama said 4.5 years ago. He said that he recognized Israel as the capital. He recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and he said this, and I quote, "And Jerusalem will remain the capital of Israel, and it must remain undivided." After he became president, he said this. This was an example when we had some poor phrasing in the speech, and we immediately tried to correct the interpretation that was given. The point we were simply making is that we don't want barbed wire running through Jerusalem. So point number two is that at one time he said that Jerusalem was the capital of Israel, and then when he became president, he suddenly said he didn't believe that. Point number three, Obama 4.5 years ago said, and I quote, "The only involvement that I had with Acorn," you remember Acorn, "was doing some stuff with the Justice Department." Now, in the years since he said that, we know that he was a community organizer, and he was a paid community organizer by Acorn, and he was one of the main people who was instrumental in making community organizing a powerful force on the streets of Chicago. But he lied about his involvement with Acorn. Point number four, he said when he became president that the public will have 5 days to look at every bill that lands on my desk. Do you recall when he said that? He promised when he ran for president the first time, he said that the United States public will have 5 days to look at every bill that lands on my desk before it's voted on. Guess what? Do you know the number of times that a bill has come across his desk that he allowed the voting public 5 days to look at it? Do you know how many times it has happened? Zero. So that is lie number four. Lastly, lie number five. Obama promised 2 years ago, when he was trying to gather all of his support for Obamacare, he said this, and I quote, "If you like your current health care plan, you can keep it." That's what Obama said. "If you like your current health care plan, you can keep it." Guess what? You can't. Under Obamacare, which is being rolled out on October 1st, they are forcing you to pick a health care provider that is on their fully recognized list of providers. You are not being allowed to keep your current health care plan. Now, why did I mention these five things? And there are about 20 more that I could talk about tonight, but for the sake of time, I've limited it to five. I showed you these five things for this reason. I just showed you five major examples of Obama looking into the camera, making a core promise, and then when the time was right, he made a complete 180-degree switch and did exactly the opposite of what he promised that he would do. So I ask you now, will Obama force all churches in America to perform gay marriages? Based on those 5 points that I just told you, would you say that he will force churches in America, or he will not force the churches in America to perform gay marriage? Terry just said, yes, he will. Jackie just said, yep. Debbie, yes. That's exactly what he is planning on doing. And the common enemy, which he is going to create, which he is already creating, will be Bible-believing Christians who use the Word of God to expose Obama for what he is attempting to create. Now, I don't know if that bothers you. I don't know if that scares you. But what I have shown you here tonight is that Obama has a master plan to create a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah out of America. And he is well underway. He is, in fact, he is, I would say he's more than three quarters of the way there to creating the United States of Sodom. Every major corporation in America, I'm not even going to bother reading the list to you. Let me just simply say that every major corporation in America, including, now you're not going to like this, including Chick-fil-A, either currently supports the gay agenda or they are in the process of changing their position. And we did articles just 6 months ago which shows that the CEO of Chick-fil-A, Dan Caffey, he has already begun to soften his stance. He has already published an article that he has become friends with one of the gay opposition leaders to Chick-fil-A. He has already begun the process of gently retreating from his previous position. Judy said, seriously, I haven't heard that before. Let me see if I can find the article real quick to post in the chat room. Hold on just one second. I hope I can show you that article without digging too deeply for it. We did a story where Dan Caffey said that we've made no concessions, but there's been an article since then which shows that he clearly has made some concessions. And I'm looking for that article right now. I don't know if I can find it in a timely manner. But basically, the article had to do with this man who is one of the leaders of the opposition, the gay opposition group to Chick-fil-A, and Dan Caffey has become close friends with this guy, and he is going to, he hasn't changed it 100% yet, and I hope and I pray that he comes to his senses, but there has been an absolute softening on the part of Chick-fil-A I can't find the story. You know what? I'm just going to play a quick song, and I'm going to look for that story, and then when we come back, we're going to wrap all this up for you. But I think that it's really pretty clear what he's doing and what's happening. I mean, it's obvious. You can see it wherever you go. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, and I'll have that story for you. Stay with us. We're not done yet. one of those two just said in the chat room about 2 minutes ago that they weren't aware that all these things were happening that I have been mentioning, and that things are happening so fast it's hard to keep up. But you know what the funny thing is? I only mentioned to you 0.1% of what's happening. It would take 10 hours to show you all of what's happening. And even then, I would have to just be giving you headlines. It is happening faster than you can ever possibly believe that it could be or would be. And that is his plan, to create a United States of Sodom. Now, will it be a socialist country? Absolutely. All the other things that we've been accusing Obama of, is he actually really doing those things? Yes, he is. He is doing those things. Let me ask you a question. Do you remember about 5 or 6 weeks ago all the scandals that were happening with Obama, the Department of Justice and the IRS and Benghazi and all that stuff? Do you remember that he was embroiled like with 3, 4, possibly 5 scandals all at the same time? Have you wondered why that they magically disappeared from the news? They're not even talking about the Department of Justice now. They're not even talking about Benghazi. They're not even talking about the Department of Justice, the wiretapping and how they went into the computers and the notepads of news reporters and tapped their phone lines. Why did we suddenly stop talking about this? Not a single one of those scandals had been rectified. He's still just as guilty as he was 6 weeks ago, but I want you to go to the headlines, go to Drudge Report. What do you see? They're all gone, just as if by magic. And now you are starting to see why I compare Barack Obama to Adolf Hitler, because he is doing exactly the same. He's using the same tools to enslave America that Adolf Hitler used to enslave Germany. And he is doing it in such a sly, crafty way that he has the support of the majority of the American people. And, you know, that's really the saddest part of the whole thing. He's not operating as a dictator just yet. He will be. But he's not operating as a dictator right now. He is doing this with the support of the United States Supreme Court. He is doing it with the support of the United States Senate. And soon it will be with the Congress. He is doing it with help and support of the mainstream media. He's doing it with the majority support of all voting Americans in this country. And he is succeeding, I believe, even past his own wildest dreams. So I hope this program was helpful to you tonight. I hope that it opens up your eyes and shows you, proves to you the depth of the depravity of his plan for America. Your nation, America, is being turned into a modern-day Sodom. And taxpayer money, your taxpayer money, is funding not only abortions, but is funding the rise of the LGBTQ agenda and movement to prominence and power. What are you going to do about that? America cannot be saved. America as a nation is being judged right here, right now. I just read you all those newspaper headlines. The Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force, the Army, the generals, the Senate, Washington, the Congress, the newspapers, every major corporation in America, they are all behind what Obama is doing. Now, as much as I would love to be able to proclaim that I believe Barack Obama is the Antichrist himself, I cannot say that because I don't have enough proof from the Bible that he's the guy. But I will say this. I believe emphatically, and I believe 100% that Barack Obama is empowered by the spirit of Antichrist. I'm not saying that he is the Antichrist, but I am saying that I have seen enough of how he operates that I feel comfortable at this point in time to declare that he is operating in the power and in the spirit of Antichrist. And that's who's running your country right now. Does that bother you at all? It should. The America that you were, if you're over the age of 25, over the age of 30, the America that you were raised with is gone. It doesn't exist anymore. When we have the 4th of July next week and we celebrate our Independence Day, we are no longer one nation under God. We are no longer independent. We are a nation that is under the judgment of God, that has a man who has the spirit of Antichrist as our leader. And he is making laws out of all manner of perversions and abominations that the Bible says that God hates. That's the America that we live in right here, right now. For right now, we still have most of our freedoms. But just like in Nazi Germany, there was a day when they were free, and the very next day, they were not. Do you think you're smarter than the Germans of 1928? Do you think you're smarter than the Germans of 1932? Do you think you're smarter than the Germans of 1934? I don't think so. If Hitler could fool an entire nation and get away with it, don't you think Obama is able to do the same thing? He's already doing it. Again, this whole show is exposing things to you that have already happened, and we tell you what we feel will happen in the not-too-distant future. But these things are already happening right now under Obama. One day, very soon, you're going to wake up and your freedoms will be gone. Because he has recreated America according to his 2008 campaign promise. He said that he wanted to fundamentally and radically change America. When Obama ran for president the first time, he didn't run on keeping America great. He didn't even run on restoring America's greatness. He ran on the campaign pledge of fundamentally and radically transforming America. And I am here to tell you this evening, he has kept that promise. The America that existed in 2008 does not exist in 2013. And by the time we get to 2015, you won't even recognize what you think you recognize today. I thank you very much for tuning in. We're very, very glad that you were here with us. And again, if you happen to be part of the LGBT movement, and I know that some of you are, if you happen to be part of the LGBT, Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. I just put a link in the chat room. We have a free gift for you tonight. I want you to click on that link and take our free gift. and live with Jesus Christ for all eternity. Please join us right here Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to continue our study in Matthew 24, and it's just getting good, so see you back here Tuesday night, 9 o'clock. Thank you, and good night.